In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. The couple Marshall Applewhite and Bonnie Nettles founded a sect in California in which the belief in UFOs was instilled, and they were prepared to pass from this life to an extraterrestrial kingdom without having to die. They forbade their followers to have sex, watch television, or listen to the radio. They were only allowed to read the sect's material, striking down any ability to think critically. The founders believed themselves to be divine messengers. They said what the Bible calls God is a highly developed alien. But some followers were disappointed to see the many material comforts the two founders had. They denounced them, and the group dispersed. John Keel, who lived from 1930 to 2009, was a brilliant American journalist and writer. In the mid-1960s, he began to work on the UFO topic. At first, Keel is a strong supporter of the extraterrestrial hypothesis. His inquisitive spirit, in fact, brought him face to face with such a number of scientifically unsolved cases that he was convinced beyond any doubt of the reality of aliens and their visits. And yet, Keel was not the type to be convinced by artificially produced explanations. With the gaze of the intrepid journalist and the passionate zeal of the investigator, he studied hundreds of cases, dozens of interviews with alleged witnesses, reads innumerable books, and begins to search for and catalog thousands of articles about UFOs from the end of the 19th century to his day. The enormous mass of collected data, once cataloged, was subjected to the analysis of all possible hypotheses. And Keel, as an independent researcher, looks for explanations and comments everywhere, from the natural sciences to engineering, but also in the occult, esotericism, and theology. The end result of this immense investigation will be shocking even to Keel himself. He is increasingly convinced that the UFO phenomenon, although real, has nothing to do with alleged extraterrestrial visitors. His conclusions will be summarized in a book, Operation Trojan Horse, published in 1970, which will provoke harsh controversies in the world of official ufology. In this book, Keel decisively denies the extraterrestrial hypothesis and states that it is based solely on a wave of emotional charge that prevents many ufologists from seeing the real nature of certain phenomena. On the contrary, according to Keel, the UFO phenomenon has a clear immaterial origin and is not related to any terrestrial or alien technology. In addition, a constant feature of UFO phenomena seems to be the presence, apart from typically paranormal events, such as appearances and disappearances of humanoid entities, of cases of telepathy, automatic writing, contributions, premonitions of misfortunes, disturbing mutilations of animals in the place of apparitions, and many more, that it is not understood what relationship they may have with possible alien and hyper-technological visitors. Keel also studies a dozen cases of alleged contactees and abductees, that is, people who claim to be abducted by aliens and taken on spaceships, undergo experiments and manipulations, and receive messages from such beings, a network of obvious traps, and a minority who had achieved notoriety from these alleged experiences. The journalist recognizes a phenomenon of dramatic characteristics, whose only possible comparison is that with the demonic possessions described by religious tradition. The manifestations that have been described in the extensive demonological literature seem to us very similar to those of the UFO phenomenon. The possessed live the same experiences of the contactees and show the same emotional symptoms. But Kiel does not limit himself to recognizing the apparently paranormal nature of the UFO phenomenon, but rather tries to propose an even more disconcerting and disturbing hypothesis, that the intelligences or entities that preside over the phenomenon have the objective of deceiving man. These entities, in essence, would present themselves under a deceptive guise, in this case, behind the mask of extraterrestrial visitors, for reasons that are obvious, and this is the reason for the title of the book, Operation Trojan Horse. Kiel highlights the often grotesque and unlikely aspect of the phenomenon, and especially its surprising change in the short space of a decade. In fact, as an investigative journalist, he has compiled an enormous amount of testimonies about sightings and apparitions that took place in America, at least from the end of the 19th century. In 1955, in Great Britain, Lord Hugh Dowding, the Royal Air Force war hero, who had directed war operations during the Battle of Britain, affirmed in an interview his conviction that the UFO phenomena referred to an immaterial origin. Statements that at the time, in full climate of extraterrestrial enthusiasm, went almost unnoticed in ufological circles. Abduction is the kidnapping of a human being taken to a UFO for experiments. The psychiatrist John Edward Mack, professor at Harvard University, has studied about 100 cases of abductions, and in his book, he presents 13 of these cases. He tells us that the aliens immobilize them and order them not to remember what happened. Normally, the experiences are traumatic and painful. They usually leave physical and psychological traces on the abductees. Cut marks or other injuries may appear on the body, as well as unjustified bleeding from the nose, ear, rectum, and other places. Other symptoms can be breast pain, urological gynecological discomfort, gastrointestinal symptoms, and others. Sometimes they leave implants inserted in the body and make them understand that they are doing experiments to create new hybrid beings between humans and aliens, so that when the destruction of the Earth happens, they can survive and repopulate it again with these new beings, who would be more intelligent and superior in degree of evolution than the current humans of the Earth. Many abductees are led to believe that they are aliens who have lived in other lives on other planets, and have now been reincarnated on Earth, and therefore have a dual identity, human and alien at the same time. These extraterrestrials that appear can change their appearance very easily. They can go through walls, and their bodies are transparent, as if they were not material or physically real. In a few cases, they politely introduce themselves as friends, but in most cases, abductees are abducted against their will and immobilized and subjected to experiments, even painful ones, without their consent. And they make them understand that it is for their own good and for the good of the future of the human species. Something recurrent is that they are subjected to gynecological investigations. They make the men ejaculate semen. They make some observations on the women, and they implant hybrid embryos, which they take out on another occasion, or they take out ova to fertilize them in their laboratory. In other cases, they are pressured to have sex between humans, or between a male or female alien and the human. The abductions or kidnappings of humans can be done when they are driving their car along a road, or when they go to their house, to their bedroom, and they take them from their bed, or they take them from wherever they are. They are taken to a mothership much larger than the one they see at first, and where their experiments will take place. In some cases, they see many humans inside the ship who are subjected to these experiments. Some have seen rooms with hundreds of boxes filled with hybrid embryos where they are cared for to develop. Abductees are normally terrified of these beings, who seem to have no feelings, although some try to reassure them so that they do not impede their experiments. Their appearance is different, as there are different races. Sometimes they are beings of more than 6 feet or 2 meters. Other times, they are of approximately 3 feet or 1 meter. They usually have a head like a pear, long arms with 3 or 4 long fingers, a thin torso, and elongated legs. The feet are often not seen and are usually covered with high boots. They have no hair or ears. They have rudimentary nostrils, and the mouth is a thin crack that rarely opens as they communicate by telepathy. They have large black eyes. Their clothing is usually a tight-fitting one-piece tunic. Some are grayish, and they usually are called gray. Others are more green. But they are all usually translucent, or in any case, not quite solid or really physical. At times, they have been seen on their ships by humans working for them. The team leader is usually male, although sometimes it is also female, and is usually taller than the others. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, Amen.